Welcome to the University of California San Francisco Sports Medicine Podcast featuring Dr. Nirav Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdown discussing hot topics in sports medicine and society. We hope you enjoy our podcast and look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome everyone to our UCSF Sports Medicine Podcast, 68 weeks with myself, Dr. Nirav Pandya, Dr. Brian Feely, and Dr. Drew Lansdown. Today, we will be talking about NBA injuries. Lots of star players are getting injured in this first weekend of the NBA playoffs. A lot of concerns and a lot of questions about when athletes will return to play, particularly with these injuries that are not your typical knee injuries that you see a lot during this time of the year. So we're going to go ahead and break them down, give you some insight into what athletes and team physicians are looking for in terms of return to play, and hopefully when they will get back and how impactful they can be. So maybe we'll start out with the first question here for our Golden State Warriors fans in the Bay Area. The first question maybe for you, Brian, is we saw Andrew Wiggins come back. He'd been out for nearly 2 months. How do you safely ramp up an athlete who has been away for 2 months with some degree of, without knowing exactly how much they've been playing or how much live working out they've been doing, particularly with a short period of time and high intensity basketball coming up?
Well, I think they probably knew all along how much he was exercising. And I think there are two ways to look at it. One is that an athlete at this level is probably their own best judge. And two, their idea of light working out, which was talked about a bunch when Wiggins was coming back, is not my idea of a light workout. Their idea is probably working harder than I could possibly attain at this point in my life, or anybody but Drew. So I think they probably had a good sense of how he was coming back in, and then he had 2 weeks of practice. And if you think about if he was in moderately good shape and they have him come in, do a couple weeks of practice, they had a really good sense of what his minutes could look like. And just by talking to him and then talking to him and checking in with him during the game and during the last few scrimmages, they'll know whether or not he can come in and play. They also had a pretty good comp in this last year with Steph Curry, because Steph was out going into the playoffs with an injury. He came off the bench in round one, and they ramped him up. So my guess is we see Wiggins more for game 2, 3, 4, and hopefully it ends in game 5 with the Warriors winning.
Drew, after this first game, what are some of the things you would potentially look for in terms of how he responded to this high intensity kind of game? What are some warning signs or things you'd be worried about if looking at the next 24 hours, before the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing would be like Brian's like talking with him and saying like, how did you feel during the end of the game? It kind of looked like he was a little tired, but that's like so hard to say for sure just watching. But does he feel like he has energy? Does he feel like he could give more? And then, is he able to, give you 15 minutes or like whatever that number might be? And hopefully he could be a good judge of that. And then I think it also is, on the coaches watching to say, this is when it looks like he's not as effective. And then, for us as physicians, I think what we worry about is when you start getting tired and you're still, trying to go at, 110%, that's when you're probably at more risk for injury. That fatigue will really play into it. And, someone who's a competitor looking to, play in the playoffs, like it's not like he's going to take a step back. And so it might be, you might have to put some kind of limit if, he really is not quite there physically yet.
Absolutely. And then I think, the second injury go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, Nirav, I've got a counter argument to it's bad when they've been resting. I mean, we talk about load management and the idea that you don't want your players playing 81, 82 games unless you're Kevon Looney. What if this is the best possible thing that he comes in? Obviously not for his family, but he comes in with fresh legs and feels pretty good and kind of looks a little bit like Gary Payton has with playing fewer games. It may feel like mid-season for his legs, but playoff time for his brain. And this might actually end up being a really good thing.
No, I agree. I think there is some degree of, kind of silver lining with this is that if he was potentially working out and maintaining some level of aerobic and anaerobic activity, that this could be a blessing in disguise. You have a player coming in who's a high-level player who definitely has fresh legs. So yes, absolutely. I think that could be something that could potentially be beneficial without that natural wear and tear that comes from playing in the season, almost like when Curry had his shoulder injury. He could still work out your lower extremities, take some time off. When he came back, he looked fresh. He looked very explosive. So once again, yes, potentially could be a silver lining, assuming there was some degree of working out taking place. Now moving on to the second injury, we saw Jordan Poole twist his ankle, during the game, came back and played. And then suddenly we hear a report that he's potentially questionable for tonight's game. What are some things that go into when an athlete, sprains their ankle? Why are they able to continue playing? And then why then suddenly after the game can an athlete be questionable? What are the things you're looking at, Brian, that will happen when an athlete has this occur?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is whether or not the outside of his ankle swelled up. 95% of the time, an ankle sprain is a lateral ankle sprain. We divide them into high ankle and low ankle, though a high ankle sprain is very different. A low ankle sprain is something we see a lot in basketball players. They land funny. They'll step on somebody's foot coming down from a rebound or shot, and then your foot turns inward, and that will sprain the ligaments, especially during a game if you're taped or, I guess, not really wearing the old Chuck Taylors that Drew played in high school. But you can feel like you've got enough stability during the game, but then once the swelling kicks in, you don't feel like you're going to play as well. So usually you're looking for the amount of swelling, how much control and stability you feel, and whether you feel like you can push off and jump.
Drew, what are some things you can do in these 24 to 48 hours to help, limit that swelling and maintain mobility?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest things are the simple ones, the rest, ice, compression, and elevation. So, just getting ice on it right away, anti-inflammatories, Advil, ibuprofen, having compression on it. And then, even something like getting in a boot, like staying on crutches just to limit the aggravation of it. But sometimes, it starts swelling and, you may be able to tape it in the moment and push through. But then, as soon as that comes off, as soon as, the swelling starts, then it, it might preclude continuing later on.
Yeah. And I think one of the key things for a lot of people to understand is that once you sprain that ankle, there is, injury to the ligaments and the soft tissues around the ankle that aren't going to heal in 24 to 48 hours. So it's really about controlling the symptoms that you're having so you can be effective out on the floor. So those ligaments aren't going to heal for 4 to 6 weeks, but a lot of times because there's so many other structures that give stability to the ankle, you can get out there and play. The key thing is making sure it doesn't get re-aggravated again. But if we do look at NBA players, the vast majority of them only miss, a minimal amount of time. I think it was a recent study that was done showed that 50% of NBA players don't miss any time at all. And even those who do miss time only miss a couple games. So I think this is something that we see a lot in NBA players, and they're able to rehab them and get them back pretty quickly. It's really those medial ankle sprains or high ankle sprains that you worry a little bit more about, particularly at the guard position.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's important is that this isn't a toughness thing. This is whether or not the ankle is stable. So that'll largely be based on his exam and how swollen he is. It's not whether Jordan Poole can tough out an injury. This is largely a decision that's made by the training staff, the medical staff, and to a lesser extent, how he's feeling. All players want to go out and play. And it always makes it hard when you hear these stories about, well, maybe this person wasn't tough enough to play through it. This is a decision that's made both for the short term and long term. It's usually the players want to be out there and play in the playoffs.
Now, shifting to players not toughing out injuries or concern about not toughing out injuries, obviously Anthony Davis and the Lakers has this reputation for suffering a lot of injuries, but we saw him suffer what looked like, quote unquote, a stinger, where he injures his arm and says, I can't move my arm. What exactly is a stinger, Brian, and why can athletes not move their arm when this occurs?
Yeah, so typically we see this in football. I was a little bit surprised. I thought when it first happened, it looked like when Steph had his shoulder subluxation this year, where he's kind of holding his arm. You feel like the arm is rotated forward and in. And it looked maybe like it was that little subluxation event that Steph had. But with a stinger, we see this a lot in football. And usually what happens is you get either pulled hard on the arm or a combination of being pulled on the arm and hit in the neck. And it's a transient stretching of the nerves that come from your spinal cord and run all the way down into your hand. We've probably all felt this at some point in our lives without that severity. You get that brief electrical shock when you pull something funny or you are putting something down that's heavier than you thought and it will stretch the nerves a tiny bit. A stinger is a little bit more severe, where the nerves can actually shut down for a few minutes to even a few days. And it can be really scary because you literally cannot move your extremity, and usually it'll start coming back. For the most part, these players will be able to come back in 24, 48 hours because it becomes very transient. However, there is, especially in football, a group of people, especially if they have a predisposition in their cervical spine for this, that this can start happening over and over.
Andrew, are there things that you can do to make a stinger get better, you know, quicker? Like, is there treatment, or is it just simply you just have to wait to see if the nerves respond?
It's really letting the nerves calm down, and like they're stretched, they're irritated, and it's just letting that inflammation around the nerve just resolve. Luckily, it usually happens pretty quickly. And then I think, you know, the other big thing is, you know, making sure that you're not continuing to play when there is weakness, when you can't feel your arm, something like that, like, you know, not trying to just push through it, because then, you know, further injury to it can definitely make it worse.
Yeah, and I agree. I think there's a conception of like, oh, you have a stinger, you just need pain medication, you'll get better. But it's actually an issue with the signals to your arm. And, you know, no matter how much pain you're in, if those nerves aren't firing the muscles, you can't be impactful. So I think this is definitely something that you have to wait while, you know, making sure you're maintaining mobility and some degree of strength in that period while your nerves are recovering. Now, speaking of pain tolerance, Giannis suffered what was, quote unquote, you know, diagnosed as a lower back contusion. What exactly is a contusion, Brian, and what are things that you're looking, trying to rule out when an athlete has a fall like Giannis did?
A contusion's a bruise. Thank you for giving me the hard questions. Realistically, the concern when you fall that hard, especially, you know, he's falling from hip level jumping. So that's a 4.5 foot fall for him. So that's like falling from my shoulders down. That's the main thing they're making sure is he doesn't have a fracture in his spine. So they probably get x-rays, even a tiny, tiny hairline fracture in your low back, he would have been out for at least a few weeks. So the fact that it's just a contusion is a really good sign.
Now, we saw something similar, Drew, with Steph Curry, where he had a coccygeal contusion, and I think later in the season they said he might have had a hairline fracture. Is this more about an issue of pain tolerance, or is this something that you are basically, you know, functionally can't perform? Like, what are the criteria to get athletes back to play who suffer these kind of injuries?
Yeah, a lot of it is pain. And then, you know, with the back, the muscles can just spasm. And then when those tighten up, you know, it's like, I mean, a lot of us probably felt that at some point where, like, you can't turn, you can't, you know, bend over, you can't lean back. And, you know, you might be able to sit in a chair, but like to, you know, even think about jumping, or like when there's that compressive load, or to like turn and catch the ball, like all of those, any kind of athletic movement, you're really just not going to be able to do. And you start to turn, and then it's just, you know, pretty severe pain. And, you know, a lot is, I think, the discomfort of it. Some of that you can push through depending on, you know, what exactly it is, but some of it, like just the muscles won't let you. And there's so many different muscle groups through the spine that, you know, if they're not cooperating, it's going to be hard to actually perform at any reasonable level.
Yeah, no, I think it brings up that ability to, you know, functionally perform, is that, you know, particularly since those muscles are really important in the lumbar spine and coccygeal area for your core and giving you stability, that if you have pain there, then it's hard to kind of do basketball movements, even though it's not necessarily directly related to your spine. Being able to jump and pivot and be athletic like Giannis is can be very, very difficult. On a similar note, you know, we saw Giannis kind of go in the, you know, kind of drive down the paint, go up high and then fall down. Same thing with John Morant in his game as well, too, where he fell onto his hand and what looked like initially a very severe injury. You know, after the game, they said x-rays were quote unquote clean. We hear that a lot. What does it mean when an x-ray is clean, Brian?
I have no idea. I mean, in the old days, it meant that the films were brought in and the patient had wiped them off, so they were nice and clean. Usually what it really means now is that there's no fractures and there's no obvious dislocation. That looked like a really scary injury. I hate to keep going back. This makes you realize, one, how often Steph has narrowly averted really, really bad injuries. But this was one of the times where Morant's injury looked like Steph's injury that had him out for the season in 2021. When you land that hard, you can sprain the ligaments between all the little bones in the wrist. and the x-ray can be clean. You cannot have a fracture. You cannot see true widening, but you can have enough of a sprain that you can't put any weight on it. And that's going to be something that's almost impossible to really play through if you really have widening of those ligaments or even a bad enough sprain, because that's going to affect your shooting. That's going to cause pain anytime you try to steal the ball. You're not going to be able to pass effectively. And for all these guys, the margin of error is so small for them. Like the ability, like Ja Morant is great. Giannis is amazing. But if you're one or two levels down because of an injury, you just can't go.
Yeah. And, you know, and sometimes, Drew, we see athletes who'll get these, you know, negative x-rays or things that's fine. And then they'll get an MRI and said, actually, they have a fracture. How come sometimes MRIs can see fractures and x-rays won't?
Yeah, there are, you know, a few little bones around the wrist, like the scaphoid especially, and it's hard to see on x-ray. And then you can actually have a fracture that, like, the bone is broken, but it just hasn't shifted or moved at all. And so the x-ray just isn't, you know, it's not, like, refined enough to be able to pick that up. And then on, like, an MRI or, you know, sometimes a CT scan, you can, you know, see the disruption on the bone better because it's three-dimensionally, it's better resolution and whatnot. So it could definitely be like some kind of injury like that, where sure, there's nothing huge that's noticed on x-ray, but then, you know, advanced imaging can show it better that it is there.
Yeah. And then finally, speaking of broken bones, Tyler Herro for the Heat did break his hand. You know, obviously a lot of this depends on what bone was broken and kind of how bad it is. But in general, do all broken hands require surgery, Brian?
Yeah, a majority of them don't. I think when we look at these fractures, especially if they're at the joint, they're usually going to require surgery because otherwise you really lose range of motion. If they're in the mid part of the bone and they're minimally displaced, oftentimes the main indication for surgery is it'll speed up return to play a little bit. For the Heat, you're still looking at 4, probably 6 weeks. I don't know if that really helps the Heat, to be honest. That said, they won their first game, so maybe they try to do surgery to get him back in hopes that he's there for the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, and I think it does show that not all broken bones are necessarily unstable or can be broken particularly, you know, quote unquote, bad. When you see that Tyler Herro, after breaking his hand, was still able to make a 3-point shot. So it does show you that, you know, just because a fracture is there doesn't mean that your, you know, the function of your arm, you know, or hand is necessarily impacted. But once again, it could also be adrenaline in the moment, and then things start swelling up and getting worse. So a lot of injuries this first weekend of the playoffs, definitely impacting a lot of the major teams, and hopefully these athletes get healthy and we have full squads moving in the playoffs. But once again, thank you everyone for listening to our podcast, and hopefully we get a Warriors win tonight, and we look forward to you guys listening soon. Thanks.